The heavens would often be a bright, unsullied blue from east to west. Now it was very rare that it wasn't marred by pink or purple, the inheritance from the New King nearly a century ago.
My belief is that we are not 1,000 miles from Colorado. The contours of the mountains about us lead me to this supposition. Then again, it could be New Mexico, or New Hampshire. New Haven. New lamps for old.
Colorado. Difficult to remember the precise coordinates, but I reckon we're away west of the Bigville of Denver. Could be a little to the south. At least we got a clear view of the sun to base it on.
They stood together outside the main entrance to the redoubt. It was extremely cold, but they were sheltered from the worst of the biting northerly wind by the bulk of the mountain that towered above them. They were on what would have probably been a visitor's parking lot, a flat area around 100 feet across. The narrow blacktop that wound away from it had been severed 100 yards down its descent toward the valley far below. Most likely by the very same quake that had caused such devastating damage to the encircling internal corridor. Millions of tons of rock had slid across the highway, clipping the edge of the redoubt and blocking any direct view of the complex from lower down the hillside. The snow around them was almost virginal, marred only by the delicate prints of small deer. Dean had spotted them with interest.
We could go hunting, Dad. We need some food.
It was true enough.
Odds are we'll find more game down in the valley. See the silver line of a river in among the pines? We'll get down there if we can. Should be able to hunt some game. JB, is that the way you see it?
Reckon so. Could do with finding somewhere safe to rest for the night. It's already around 10 below. Get in the wind and you drop another 10 or more. By the time we work our way down over this snow, it'll be closing in on night. Then we're looking at 30 below. Need a fire and shelter.
The outer sector, with the usual code of 352 to open it, reverse to close it, had been shut behind them. Ryan stood still, scanning the vista of peaks and valleys that stretched around them. As far as he could see, there was no sign of human habitation, no smoke, and not a building anywhere. He'd been up around Colorado with the trader on several occasions, and he knew that there were a number of powerful barons with fortified villas set in isolated parts of the region. But that was the past. Few people knew better than Ryan Cotter how fragile and temporary was the grip of most barons. Not many lived out their allotted span and died peacefully in their beds.
Wish you'd gotten some decent boots, Michael. I may have medical skills, but I can't do much for you if your bare feet get frostbite, except cut your toes off real neat.
They started off toward the lower ground, leaving the redoubt behind them. It hadn't taken long to construct a rudimentary shelter from fallen branches, lacing them together for protection from the wind, though the surrounding forest cut out most of the chill. Ryan had scattered around, seeing plenty of tracks along a trodden path that wavered along toward the water. The river itself was about 60 feet wide, iced at the edges, but still clear near the rapid flow at its center. As well as the spoor of deer, there were some other tracks.
Hey, JB, come here.
Dark night.
You reckon the same as me?
Bear.
The pad marks were enormous, better than 2 feet in width. Earth pressed flat beneath the weight of the creature. JB bent and laid his own hand in the track.
Grizzly, I guess.
Beauty?
Must be. Paws that big, it's got to be well over 12 feet high. Could be bigger.
Both men stared into the deep, dark woods around them, aware that the bear that had recently passed by could be a whole lot bigger than 12 feet high. It was common knowledge that most hunting animals would avoid man, certainly not come close to a campsite where there was good fire blazing. The biggest danger was if you had fresh-killed meat in your camp. There were enough legends about hunters waking up to find a hungry bear or a big cougar inside their tent, helping itself to their food, sometimes helping itself to them while it was at it. But when you got to thinking about a grizzly big enough to leave that sort of tracks, a solid ton of red-eyed killing madness, something that could certainly run and swim much faster than any person, you posted a watch for the night. The companions decided to take turns. It was the long hours after midnight, with the heart slowing and the breathing gentling down, when the risks of attack were highest. Dean had been allowed to take the first guard, being replaced by Doc. Mildred came third, with JB choosing to sit up with her, keeping the fire charged with wood. Michael was awakened by JB 2 hours later. Ryan and Christy had decided that they'd carry the last 2 hours of the night through to the dawn together. Michael had been warned about how to wake someone up in the middle of the night without making a lot of noise. You didn't clamp your hand over their mouth and expect that to do the trick. Clamp your hand over Ryan Calder's mouth while he was sound asleep, and you'd find your lungs dangling out of your ribcage. Michael knelt a few inches from Ryan.
Something's coming.
Ryan was instantly awake, his nerves racing, his fingers automatically going to the butt of his Sig Sauer.
What?
Noise in the undergrowth.
Christy was also awake, pulling on her dark blue western boots with the silver chiseled toes and the silver spread-winged falcons on the sides.
Human, muty, or animal?
I don't know.
Ryan was on his feet, straining to listen. The forest at night was full of sound. But he did find what Michael had heard, as did Christy.
Men?
Ryan shrugged. At night in the woods, it was impossible to tell the difference. But whatever it was heading their way.
Yo, to camp!
Ryan and Christy had awakened the others, and all of them moved back from the bright light of the fire. They melted into the surrounding trees, able to see without being seen, able to use their own weapons without being shot at.
Yo, to camp! Three hunters here! Want some of that good heat?
Could be a trick.
Used it often enough ourselves in the old days when we rode with Trader.
It was a simple operation. You ordered in a couple of men or women from your killing party. They made a lot of noise and attracted the attention of the camp, while you sent the rest of your group around the other side to come in from the back and surprise them. It wouldn't work against wily, experienced men, but against the normal run of fools, it was generally effective.
Hey there! There's three of us! Hunters! Working here in the lands of Baron Albert Nelson, owner of the Villa Vista.
I can't hear anyone behind us.
Neither do I.
We hear you. Come toward the fire where we can see you. Hands out and showing.
You're a careful man.
We've got some careful men standing around with blasters.
How about some of you showing yourselves first, mister?
You're wasting time.
You're not being sociable, mister.
Never claimed I was. If you and your two friends want to come in here and warm up by our fire, then you're welcome.
And?
And it's our fire. That makes it our terms. I don't care much what you decide, but make it quick, will you?
There was a pause. Ryan gestured with his gun to the others on either side, reminding them to keep ready and alert.
Coming in, like you said.
Hand showing?
Sure, mister. Hand showing.
Three men walked slowly into the ring of light, the white of their palms showing against their dark clothes.
Hold it there.
What now, mister? Shit, I never known such a suspicious bastard.
The blasters. Put them down by your feet. And that haunch of venison you got across your shoulder. Lay that down.
You gonna steal our food, stranger?
Fire blast. We could have showed you the minute you showed your heads. Put the guns down and the meat. And then we can all stop fucking around like gaudy sluts with their tits caught in a mangle.
Ryan!
Well, they got me pissed.
Three rifles and two handguns went down in the dirt, followed by the great chunk of deer. Ryan stepped forward, holding his automatic so that it covered the three hunters.
Hey, that's good. That's real good.
The leader of the trio was a man named Andy Byrne. He was in his late 30s and walked with a limp, thanks to a wolverine he'd encountered in the old ruins of Leadville not far away. One of his companions was a man called Clint Kyle. He was tall and silver-haired, with a craggy, suntanned face. When he spoke, he revealed a mouth that was completely toothless.
Pulled them all myself when I had cabin fever up on Sky Ridge yonder. Closed in for the winter, drew a tooth a day for 3 weeks. Passed the time, kept me laughing.
Third was a short black man who spoke very little. His name was Alvair, and he wore a dozen knives slung about his chest and hips. Andy offered them some of the slab of venison that they'd shot farther up the valley on the previous morning, which was fine with Ryan, who had been planning to take it anyway. Once an uneasy peace had been established, and the blasters had been handed back to the hunters, the conversation began to stutter along.
Any of you folks seen a big grizzly? And I'm talking triple shit big.
We saw some tracks. You after it?
The Baron could be real pleased to have it chilled.
As long as he doesn't find us hunting around his favorite mountains. It's close to his fucking ville.
You mean you aren't really supposed to be here?
That's right, lady.
Why?
You go around with no boots on in this weather, they'll be taking you off at the knees, boy.
That's my concern, not yours. Why shouldn't you hunt here? Isn't this all the Lord's country and all the creatures his?
You're so young, dear child. And you will eventually come to see that nothing is free. Everything is spoken for by the powerful and wealthy. It was true in the 1890s, was true in the 1990s, and it remains true now.
All power corrupts, Doc.
Mm.